Ladies and gentlemen, today we consider the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a physical being. He is a distinct personality, a distinct personal being. When men claim to be witness of material manifestations and revelations of the Holy Spirit, they are false witnesses. The Holy Spirit cannot be identified as materiality. When men claim that they saw the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit appeared unto them in identity form, they are mistaken. The Holy Spirit does not appear unto man in such material manifestations. The personality of the Holy Spirit is evidenced by the work of the Spirit. The New Testament church, in its period of infancy, was characterized by a diversity of apostolic gifts of the Spirit, as revealed in the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians. The objective of the spiritual gifts were clearly stated. The distribution and duration of the miraculous gifts of the Spirit are unquestionably revealed by the inspired men of God. The miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of tongues, and gifts of knowledge, were important in their time. But the apostle concluded that there is a more excellent way. These miraculous works of the Spirit were never intended to be permanent in the church. They were given in the infancy of the church to last until that which is perfect is come, the Bible says. Having admonished the Corinthians to covet the best gifts, Paul added, "Yet I show unto you a more excellent way." The apostle affirmed by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12, that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit would cease. He said, "Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away." 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. The Holy Spirit does not dwell in man today in a miraculous way, as in New Testament times. If it were true, then man would be able to perform the same miraculous works of the Spirit, such as heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, as Jesus commanded in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Or drink deadly poison without harm, Mark 16, verse 18. Speak in tongues or languages never known by the speaker, such that the hearers would understand in their own language, Acts 2, verses 5 through 8. Regardless of all the claims today, men do not receive the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. There is a great difference in miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit as a gift. The Holy Spirit is received by those who obey the gospel. The apostle declared, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Acts 5, verse 32. The apostle John wrote, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." 1 John 3, 24. The Christian abides in Christ by keeping his commandments. Christ and the Spirit abide in the Christian as he keeps the Lord's commandments. To deny that the Holy Spirit dwells in a Christian because he has not been seen of mortal man would be equal to a denial of God whom man has not seen. The Apostle John concluded, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit." 1 John 4, verses 12 and 13. Although man cannot see the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the Christian any more than he can see the person of God, we do see the fruits and the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life. The Holy Spirit may be seen in the child of God by the fruits of the Spirit. Paul declared, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Galatians 5, 22, 23. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control are winning attributes of the Christian who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in his heart. Not only will the Christian, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, be saved, but other souls are influenced to be saved by the fruits of the Spirit revealed in the Christian's life. A most declarative statement is made by the Apostle Paul when he said, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Romans 8, verse 9. The Holy Spirit must reign supremely in the Christian's heart. Otherwise, he is none of Christ. Where Christ and the Spirit reign, the deeds of the body are put to death and the fruits of the Spirit are revealed in righteousness. The Bible says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he shall raise up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Romans 8, verses 10 and 11. The child of God and the Holy Spirit live in the same house. The temple of God must therefore remain holy. The body is the only dwelling place of the soul of man. When man moves out by reason of death, the body is dead. The temple is unoccupied. If the Holy Spirit is forced to vacate the temple because of sin and unrighteousness, spiritual death is the result. The apostle declared, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17. My friends, we must understand that the apostle declared that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which he hath given us. Romans 5, verse 5. Yes, the Christian cannot afford to forfeit his right to have the Holy Spirit occupy the chambers of his soul. But the Spirit does not dwell where sin dwells. When Jesus, the Son of God, warned man of these things which defile the body, he said, "But the things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man." Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. From this divine declaration, we must conclude that man is responsible for the deeds of his body. All actions and deeds of the body, good or evil, proceed from the heart. When the Holy Spirit reigns on the throne of the Christian's heart, the deeds of the body born in the heart will be none other than the fruits of the Spirit, which are good and not evil. The question of much concern to many people is, how does the Holy Spirit dwell in the Christian? Does the Spirit dwell in the child of God independently of the Word of God? Today I am alive. My Spirit dwells in me. If you ask me how, I cannot fully explain, but there are some conditions for the abode of my Spirit in this mortal body. When I die, my Spirit will no longer dwell in this body. Likewise, there are certain conditions upon which the Holy Spirit dwells in the body of a child of God. The Christian's awareness of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not based on his feelings of a better felt than told experience, nor by physical manifestations. A child of God knows that the Holy Spirit dwells in him, just as he knows that Christ dwells in him, just as he knows that his sins have been forgiven. And that is by faith. Paul concluded, "That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Galatians 3, verse 14. The same apostle declared that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the dwelling of the Spirit of God in the child of God. The Holy Spirit does dwell in the Christian, in the child of God. The Holy Spirit gave the regenerating life to the Word of God, by which man is to be begotten. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the apostle exhorts, "Be filled with the Spirit." Yet the same apostle admonishes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Colossians 3, verse 16. To be filled with the Spirit, therefore, is to have the word of Christ richly dwelling in a Christian. We are not to confuse the exhortation to be filled with the Spirit with the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For instance, one might fill a jug with water, yet not baptize the jug in water. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from birth, as you read in Luke verse 15 of chapter 1. Yet, he was not baptized with the Holy Spirit and worked no miracles, John 10 verse 41. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was the promise of the apostles that was to be fulfilled and was fulfilled on the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection from the dead, as you read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2 and the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Yes, my friends, the Holy Spirit does dwell in the child of God. But how? John the Apostle declared that the Spirit is the truth. It is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is the truth. 1 John 5, 6. Our Lord declared that God's Word is the truth. John 17, 17. The Apostle Paul affirmed that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, 16. Any theory of the direct operation of the Holy Spirit through miraculous intervention, separate and apart from the Word of God, would nullify the cross and set aside the whole scheme of redemption revealed by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in the New Testament. It is evident that the Corinthians, in whom the Holy Spirit dwelled, learned of Christ, the glory of the cross, and the power of his resurrection through the gospel preached by Paul and not by some direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Read Paul's declaration in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the first four verses. When God spoke through Christ, his Son, by the Holy Spirit, he moved and directed the minds of the apostles, giving the world one message of salvation, the heaven-born, Spirit-filled message of the cross, offering conditions of pardon and promises of salvation to the obedient. The Holy Spirit moves the mind and convicts the soul of man today, but not independently of the gospel of Christ. When man hears and obeys the gospel, he hears and obeys the word of the Spirit. The word of God has always been the revelation of the Spirit to which man is obligated to hear and obey. The Holy Spirit gave the regenerating life to the word of God, which is the seed of the kingdom, and is the perpetuator of the life in the born-again child of God, as you read in John 6:63, 1 John 5:7, and Luke 8:11. The child of God is begotten by the Spirit through the word of God. Jesus declared, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," John 3:5. Peter declared, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." 1 Peter 1, 22, 23. The Holy Spirit as a person does dwell in the body of a child of God, having been begotten through the seed by the word of God. Man's own spirit dwells in the natural body, having been begotten through the seed, which produces natural life. It is not within the realm of human wisdom to fully understand how this is possible regarding spiritual life or natural life. It is a fact just how God in His providence through His Spirit may overrule and direct the life of His children we are not prepared to say. Surely that is God's part. Our part is to follow the directions and the dictates of the Spirit through the Word of God and trust Him. Men may speculate on how the Spirit intervenes on behalf of a child of God, but that does not change the fact that the body of a Christian is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, the inspired apostle declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Man is born into this world through life and the seed by which he was begotten. Unless that life is sustained by proper nourishment and treatment, the Spirit will move out of the body. We call it death. The child of God is born again by the Spirit, giving life to the seed, the Word, by which he was begotten. The spiritual life must continually be nourished by the Word of God, which sustains and perpetuates life and growth of the Christian. Unless the child of God receives proper spiritual nourishment and engages in proper spiritual exercises and activities, he will die spiritually. Hear me, my friends, and I say, are you listening? The Holy Spirit moves out of an inactive child of God. The Apostle John truly refers to the spiritual life of a child of God, declaring that this new begotten life is sustained and maintained because his seed abideth in him. 1 John 3, verse 9. The Apostle positively does not mean in the Scripture that a child of God cannot sin. For the same Apostle in the same Epistle, chapter 1 and verse 8, declares, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." The child of God, however, who does walk in the light as he is the light, has the assurance that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. This spiritual life is predicated upon the promise that his seed remaineth in us. If the seed is not nourished to active spiritual growth, the child of God will die spiritually. He will be lost. The Christian has the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is an earnest of the inheritance. The Apostle declared, "In whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Ephesians 1:13-14. The Apostle made the same declaration to the children of God at Corinth when he said, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. The earnest of the Holy Spirit is the seal of promise, the guaranteed deposit from the highest power there is, an omnipotent God, assuring the child of God of his eternal inheritance and final redemption. The child of God, therefore, must not grieve the Holy Spirit, nor force him out of that dwelling place occupied by both the Christian and the Holy Spirit. Paul admonished the Ephesian Christians, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Ephesians 4, verse 30. Yes, the Spirit dwells in the body of a Christian, and it is that Holy Spirit dwelling in the body that will quicken the mortal body on the resurrection day. The Apostle declared, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." Romans 8:10-12. The indwelling Spirit enables the Christian to put to death the deeds of the body. The Apostle said, "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Romans 8, verse 13. One of the great difficulties in understanding the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person who dwells in the child of God is the fact that so many people do not recognize the Holy Spirit as a person, but consider him simply as an influence or a power or an ideology. But the Holy Spirit is a person, one of the Godhead three, omnipotent, omniscient, and eternal. If it be a matter of rejecting the reign of the Holy Spirit in the Christian, in his body, as a temple, because it is not reasonable, then one would be forced to deny his own existence in the body, because no man on earth today can actually identify the soul of man that dwells in the body. The person who lives in my body, the person who lives in your body, cannot be measured by physical identities and physical measurements. The Christian may not fully comprehend the Spirit and his divine personality, but we can comprehend his message and his methods and the fruits of his power. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to his children that obey him. Lift high your own spirit to the mountaintop of God's infinite power. Reveal to us through his word by the Spirit the glory of the divine Spirit, who shall someday abide with you in that house forever in the eternal city of our God, having transformed our mortal bodies into the glorious image of him who died for us, that we might be with him in eternity. No human tongue can describe the glory that shall be revealed to the saints of God who have been kept by the power of God unto that day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in my heart to stay, should be the earnest prayer of every child of God.